Hello and welcome to Before You Bet on the Covers YouTube channel. I'm not Joe Osborne. Joe's taking an extended weekend. He's got some birthday celebrations, got some daddy duties here in the way. So I'm Jason Logan, going to fill in here for you on the Friday. We're going to get you in and out real quick. John Mettler's going to come in and join us talking about tonight's two NBA playoff games. We're going to get into those with bets from both of us. And like I said, we're going to do this quick and dirty. Just a reminder before we get going, please subscribe, click right there to the Covers YouTube channel. You get this show and everything that we're doing. And if you like this video and you like what we're doing here, give us a big thumbs up. So let's jump right into it. Why not? John Mettler, as Joe likes to call you, the ass man.
Yeah. I hope Joe Osborne, you know, it's his kid's birthday. That's what he told us. They're celebrating his birthday. So I hope they enjoy their trip to the West Coast, Denver, Colorado. I don't know if you caught that one with me and him, but Joe thinks Denver, Colorado is located on the West Coast.
No.
The Rocky Mountain region, but anyways.
Kind of like a mountain range, and then yeah. There's a lot of beachfront between Colorado and the West Coast.
Yeah, so I don't know where he's vacationing today, but I hope it's I'm sure he doesn't know either.
I hope he adjusted his clock to mountain time.
Mountain time, yeah.
It's mountain time, not Pacific time, yeah. All right, John, you've got a good slate of bets here for the two games tonight. We got one in the East and one in the West. Let's get started.
Okay, I'm going for the first game. I'm going Jalen Brunson over 6.5 assists. I grabbed this at -114. So I do think for Jalen Brunson, I'll talk more about like the betting numbers because I do think that's kind of more of the influence to this bet. You know, game one, game two, he was trading at 8.5. Last game, it was kind of some 7.5, but that was more juice. It was kind of 8.5 too. So he's gone under in back-to-back games. It's dropped from 8.5 to 6.5, which is a big move just in general. But you're also like, so like game one, because I was looking at this after game one, he had 15 potential assists. And I think it converted to, I think, six assists in that game. So like even there, like following game one, you're kind of like, he should get over this number. Like not necessarily maybe over the 8.5, but like at 6.5, like 15 potential assists, you should get over a total of 6.5. They just didn't convert for him. And then you go to game two, he had 5 assists, 32 minutes, but it was also because he left it with the foot injury. So like, it, once again, you're telling me, so he's not close to the 8.5 in game two either, but if you're viewing it from like a total of 6.5, you're telling me if he doesn't play, you know, he played 32 minutes, you're telling me if he doesn't play 40, 42 minutes, he's not getting 2 more assists with how, like how high his usage and all that stuff. And he's going over the 6.5 once again. I think you're just seeing like a scenario where this line is reacting to the box score versus the fact that Brunson just missed a little chunk there in the second quarter. And that kind of ultimately sent him under the total. And just also for Brunson too, you were seeing at the end of the last game, they don't have anyone who can guard him. Like Nembhard's trying, everyone wants McConnell. I think TJ McConnell might be a better matchup, but at the same time, he's not going to completely shut down Brunson. They're blitzing him. They were doubling him. You're going to see probably a lot of that tonight. That should open up more potential assists. So I just think you're kind of taking advantage of a scenario where the totals drop too, because of basically the foot injury. I don't really think that's kind of what's setting it under, but it's just, you know, when you look at it from a number standpoint, it's like, oh, we only had 5. That's not great. Drop the total, but it's not really reflective of his role or like the minutes he'll probably see and all that stuff.
Yeah. So, yeah. And potential assists per minute. If you start breaking it down,
you're right.
It's much higher. And that's great stuff, John, because so many times people want to look at those box scores and they want to look at it, but it really is kind of where the market is. And at this point in the playoffs, there's so much information. The books have this really nailed down, as we've seen these teams play twice already, and you're going to see them play over and over and over again, that you really have to find those kind of hidden edges in the numbers and then find that value.
Yeah, for sure. So that's just one. I'm just playing the drop down type thing. Yep. The second bet I'm going after is Tyrese Haliburton over. So I played this over 8.5 last game. He had 9. I also did recommend over 9.5 at plus money. Unfortunately, he didn't get over the 9.5 because he finished the game with 9. But like when I was watching that game, I already had the bet. So you're like dialed in on the assists. He had 20 potential assists. Like there were so many shots where you're just like watching. It's like, oh my God, is he not going to get over this number? Like you're seeing so many potential assists. You're seeing just shots missed. A lot of three-pointers were missed off of his passes and stuff. I'm at 9.5 -104. I'm 100% running this back because you move. Now the game moves from Madison Square Garden to is it Bankers Life Fieldhouse? I forget the name of them. But it's anyways, they're playing in Indiana. They're playing at home. So one thing, a lot of these potential assists that were being missed, they're going to like role players who are shooters. Well, we all know in the playoffs, shooters always, role players specifically, they always shoot better at home. So that's working in your advantage. You also have the fact that OG Anunoby on top of Mitchell Robinson, is they're both out now. So now you're taking out two people who can be disruptive to potential assists at the rim or just on an interior defense. Like any pass to Siakam now, he was going against Josh Hart, who he has length over. All of a sudden, those might convert at a higher rate too. And you're not, I don't think the total like reflects that either. Mm-hmm. So it's just one of those things where I feel like he should have went way over this number last game, but because he landed on 9, it's coming back 9.5 minus 104. Gainsford Fieldhouse, thank you.
Thank you, Doug Farmer.
just because it landed on 9 last game, it's coming back at 9.5 minus 104. So I think you have another chance to play this because the Knicks, they don't have a point of attack defender who can slow down that like shifty, speedy Haliburton. Their defense is more interior wings. And that's kind of like why Tyrese Maxey was also a problem for them. So I just think Haliburton will be able to create, and they just need to convert. And with Anunoby playing at home, all those combined, all those factors, I think 9.5 minus 104 play the over.
Yeah, and those are two bets on guys that always have the basketball in their hands no matter what. Always going to have the ball in their hand, always going to have a chance to go over those assists and create for sure.
Yeah, you're not going to be disappointed with their usage or how much they're on the ball. That's for sure. So,
yeah. All right. So we swing over. We've got Minnesota and Denver. Mick, do you want to get some, you want to pull up my picks there? I got a couple picks as well, too. So I'm going with Minnesota first half money line. And this may kind of go against maybe kind of that public push, desperation for Denver, down 0-2, heading on the road. They've got to come out and play really strong out of the gate, but that's not really Denver's MO. We've seen them lead at the half just 32 of their 60 games. We're talking about Denver here, and they've only done it once in the postseason. They only led at the break once in the postseason. The market right now is heavily skewed towards Denver in that first half. But like I said, that's not really what they do. They kind of start a little slow. They hang around and they make those pushes. So I think there's good value going against it. And then Target Center tonight is just going to be rocking. A well-oiled crowd. I'm calling it the Doug Farmer factor. They're pre-gaming the pre-game in Minnesota. That place is going to be rocking. It's a Friday night. It's 8:30. People have nothing to do tomorrow but just be hungover and celebrate a Minnesota victory. So I like Minnesota to come out. Great energy. That break kind of threw me off. I was like, oh, no, not great momentum. But Doug, our resident Timberwolves fan, he's like, no, this is great for them. It lets them recharge their defense. And that's been that big factor in this series. So I like Minnesota. I like Minnesota to lead at the break. Mick, what else do we got? All right. I'll go Aaron Gordon over 5.5 rebounds. I bet this one, it was minus 115 this morning. It's moved up to minus 130. Gordon's only had 3 and 4 rebounds in the first two games. He played 33 minutes in both of those games. But first game, he was somewhat limited by foul trouble. Second game, there was a blowout. This is a guy who averaged close to 10 rebounds and 40 minutes versus the Lakers. It is a big Minnesota team. They are shooting well. So those opportunities for rebounds might not be there. But player projections right now call for 6 or more. Some places even calling for 8. And should he put in the big minutes? And there's an opportunity for him to log a lot of floor time because Denver is banged up. Guys like Murray, KCP, and Jackson showing up as questionable on the injury report. Aaron Gordon may have to play this one out. So I like that value if he comes in tonight. My numbers were kind of flirting with 7.5, even 8 as he picked up minutes. So I like that. And the market now, too, is much, much higher, too. And then the dreaded Michael Porter Jr., over. Mettler, you and I have a love-hate relationship with Michael Porter Jr. overs in the playoffs. But this year, he's playing really, really well. This is his best postseason for the Nuggets. And he scored 20 points per game in game one. He had a poor shooting game along with everyone in game two. But injuries to Murray, KCP, and Jackson, they set a higher ceiling for Porter. He could have more shots if those guards are out, if any of those guards are limited. This is a guy that's going to have to shoot it as well, too. Player projections still calling for 16 or more points from Michael Porter Jr., even with those guys in. But should they be out, I think there's an opportunity for him to hit that 20-point mark. So, I every time I bet a Michael Porter Jr. point total over or anything over, he turns into his brother and suddenly it seems like the unders might be fixed. So,
I wasn't on camera when you made the first comment about our love for Michael Porter Jr., but I was literally laughing behind the scenes here because last playoffs – we had like multiple bets where me and J-Lo were on the same Michael Porter Jr. props. And like every single time it kept showing an edge to the over, edge to the over, edge to the over. And he would just never come through. And like the funniest part was there's so many handicaps where I was like, you won't be disappointed with the amount of shots he takes. He just has to make them. And he didn't make them.
We nailed the shots, but he'd go like 1 for 9 in 3-pointers and shoot like, 3 for 22 from the field. It would be terrible. Terrible.
Yeah. My personal favorite was in the NBA finals against the Miami Heat. Had him over half assist, half. Like this guy's playing 35 minutes a game, half assist, one pass. And there's like, I'm sure it's on my Twitter somewhere, saved like way in the archives, but he pulls for like a mid-range jumper and there's like three guys on him, and there's two Nuggets players under the basket, and then again, waiting for the pass, and he didn't pass it. He shot it. He didn't get the over half assist. And literally, you just had to throw it down. They would have dunked it. It was the easiest assist in the world. Oh, it was the craziest of him. But anyways, I'll move on to picks for tonight. So I'm going Nikola Jokic under 28.5 points. This is plus 115 now at 365. This wasn't actually better at a worse price. I bet plus 102 this morning. But for Jokic, like Jayla was saying, you know, this game was Monday. It's now Friday. I watched this film quite a bit, like from game two and stuff. Jokic, I honestly just don't think, I don't know if they have answers to free up Jokic, because Nikhil Alexander-Walker and Jaden McDaniels, they're completely, you know, these perimeter defenders, they're capable of locking up Jamal Murray one-on-one, and they don't need any help. So then what that means is like all the team defense focuses on Jokic. And then like when you watch game two, oh my God, poor Nikola Jokic. They're like hitting him with so many different coverages. They're mixing it up every time. There's nothing consistent about anything the Timberwolves are doing. And like, they're able to do this because of all the good individual defenders that they have. And it's just like there was one play. I remember Jokic was like in the post. He's like backing down Kyle Anderson. I think he's anticipating a double, and they never brought it. And you're like, oh, that's confusing for Jokic. Like, you think you're double if you're one-on-one Kyle Anderson. Then there's like another time. It's like Karl-Anthony Towns has great position, and they just randomly send a double and they force a turnover. And it's just like, it's very like unpredictable. They're hitting with everything. I just don't think anything is easy for Jokic in this series. I think like a part of you is kind of like, you know, it's a big game. They need the MVP. They're down 2-0. But at the same time, I just don't know if they can free him up. Like, everything's difficult. Entry passes, anything. Like, even if you get a rebound around the rim, which is difficult in general against the Timberwolves just because of their size.
Yeah.
Your putback's contested by 2 7-footers, and Jaden McDaniels has a 7-foot wingspan. So 28.5, I'm going under. I just don't see it with Jokic. I just don't know. I think the problem is Jamal Murray's getting suffocated on the perimeter, and I think that's causing lots of problems for Jokic.
Mm-hmm. No, the Minnesota's doing such a great job of utilizing their length and the rim protection, defending the pick and roll extremely well, like you said, keeping Jokic guessing. But also too, the one thing that helps that defense so much is that they're shooting at such an efficient rate. So when you're shooting 50 plus percent from the floor, the Nuggets have to start the majority of possessions off the inbound. It allows Minnesota to get set. It allows them to kind of figure out a play call on defense and what they're going to do. Like you said, they just keep them guessing. So that's great.
Yeah. So I have one last bet here. So I'm going Nikhil Alexander-Walker over 1.5 assists. He only had one assist in both games so far, but that's actually sent his total, like the juice, the total has been 1.5 every game in the series, but the juice is now at a point where I think we have a really nice edge on this. So just for like Nikhil Alexander-Walker, the one thing I really like about him is his minutes to me are just like extremely secure in this series because of his role of guarding Jamal Murray. And like, even just the fact, you know, Walker is one of the best perimeter defenders in the NBA, and they need him to guard Murray one-on-one, so then you can put the team defense on Jokic. But these two guys, like Murray and Walker, they both play together on the Canadian national team. So if you don't think, like, Nikhil Alexander-Walker has probably played a lot of one-on-one against Jamal Murray, he knows the scouting report. I honestly think that's why he was laughing in the last game when he was guarding him, because I think he knows exactly what Murray wants to do. So why the assist prop? You know, this is just I think the minutes are very secure, and like, I only need a projection of like 23 minutes to find an edge on this assist prop the way it's priced. And to me, like, 23 minutes is that's pretty much his floor. Like, he played game one, he played 23 minutes, and that's his lowest minute output the last six games in the playoffs. He's averaging 29.5. The other thing too I kind of like about this Alexander Walker prop is, you know, if Jamal Murray's out, JLo was referencing all the injuries, Reggie Jackson, Kentavious Caldwell Pope, mm-hmm. if those guys are out, and then it's like, okay, well, that kind of hurts his minutes a little bit because they're using him to guard those players. But if those guys are out, it also could be a blowout, and then you kind of turn to your bench guys once again. So I feel like either way, it kind of protects the minutes of Alexander Walker. And also, I like the fact, you know, last game Rudy Gobert was out, Rudy Gobert's back in tonight. That gives someone, Alexander Walker, when he drives, it gives him a lob threat, which are easy dunks, easy potential assists that get converted. So with Gobert back in, I think that helps his assist prop as well.
Yeah, two assists, you're not asking the world.
No,
yeah. Just two assists.
He had five assists in multiple games against the Suns. So, like, he's very capable. It just hasn't converted the first two games here. But, I mean, the minutes are going to be there. So, put him on the floor. He'll be open. 1.5 minus 125. Sign me up.
All right. We do have some stuff in the chat. The guys are talking about our Canadian accent, which I thought, my Canadian accent is not too bad. You know, if this was Canadian rum or something, some Newfoundland screech or something, it might come out a little more, but it's just water. They were asking about Alexander for, I think, points.
Points. Yeah.
Half. I mean, like you said, the minutes could be there and he could be playing against a skeleton crew of a backcourt for Nuggets.
Yeah. I think he went, I don't think I was as interested. I don't know the numbers off the top of my head, but I think he had 14 last game, which kind of jumped his points total. So I was kind of more going after his assist total because that's fallen into our, like, to a better juice where I think it's, you know, he's gone under twice. So he's not going to have zero assists the rest of his career. It's just not how it works. So, like, if you're on the floor, he should be able to get those assists. I think there's also things working in that game that will help him get those assists. Mm-hmm. I imagine there probably is an edge to the over on his points. It just wasn't as big as I thought there was with the assists.
Yeah. We also had a Miles Turner. Was it 10-plus rebounds? Was the was another question out there that someone had proposed?
Yeah.
I think his total right now is at, 7.5 rebounds. We're seeing pinnacle juice towards the under. Some other places are a little higher on the over.
I'm just checking quickly. Yeah, it's 7.5.
And I know projections are sitting around right around that total as well, too. I'm not seeing necessarily any other edge. Our covers projections show 7.5 over plus 114.
Yeah,
you know, he is taking on a smaller front court for the Knicks right now, but
yeah, because they won't be able to go as big. They'll only have Hartenstein. They did. They played Precious Achiuwa beside Hartenstein. I don't know if that'll be. I mean, Tom Thibodeau doesn't have many options here. I don't know if that's the lineup he's going to roll with, or he's going to go smaller with Miles McBride. I don't know. I don't think they can go smaller though, because then they could be in big trouble. But if they went smaller, could they force Turner out of the minutes? I'm thinking out loud here.
yeah, no.
But I don't know if I'd go 10 plus, but maybe over 7.5. Just from what I'm looking at quickly here.
Just by matchups.
Yeah.
Potential matchups and an advantage to that matchup. Yeah. All right. I think that was the bulk of the questions. Thanks so much, John. That's great. And thank you for tuning in. Before You Bet, Joe should be back here next week if he doesn't get washed away in the crazy ocean waves in Colorado, which is apparently on the West Coast, right? I think someone in the chat said Colorado, the Miami Beach of the Pacific. So
I'm not letting that go with him. I did a poll on Twitter and I think there was like 600 votes and we had 76% said no, it's not on the coast, and 24% said yes. I was like, 24%. I was shocked 24% voted yes, but
I'm pretty sure you could fit probably the majority of countries in that area between Colorado and the Pacific Ocean.
So it also is just not on a coast, so it can't be the West
Coast. All right, well, thankfully Joe's not a geography major, and he stuck to his bread and butter, which is sports betting, which is great. So again, thank you for coming on. A reminder, please, to subscribe to the Covers YouTube channel so you can get all our shows. And if you like this show, you like what Johnny and Joe are doing each day, please give a big thumbs up. All right, good luck with your bets, and we'll talk to you next week.